Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
We are continuing a series on awakening and awareness, exposing the forces of evil in the invisible realm. And there's seven spiritual warfare principles that I have been going through. We've already covered five of them in part two on Show Me the Power. Part two is what we're going to go over today. So we've already gone through spiritual warfare principle number one, exercise your authority. Number two, who are you? That's your identity in Christ. Number three, look down. It's a matter of position. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Number four, we went over childlike faith. And last week we went over part one, Show Me the Power. Today we're going to go over part two. Let's open our Bibles and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's start in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And this is the last verses. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we see here that in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4, Paul did not come in eloquence of speech or persuasive words of wisdom, but he came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He shared the word of the cross. He was determined to share Christ and Christ crucified, because we see that it is the word of the cross that is the power of God. And today we're speaking on spiritual warfare principle number 5, part 2, show me the power. And I'm specifically going to speak about the indwelling and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see in John chapter 20, we read that when the Lord was ascended and he came back to earth after resurrection, he was able to walk through walls. He was able to show to the disciples, it is he. They touched his hands. He saw the holes. And then he breathed into them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So let's go there to John 20. And we know the story about Mary. She went to the tomb where Jesus was placed. And she looked into the tomb, and the body of Jesus was not there. And she saw two angels, but didn't know they were angels. And she was inquiring, where did they bring the body of Jesus to? And Mary was weeping. And then in verse 15 of chapter 20, Jesus said to her, because she could not recognize Jesus, she thought he was a gardener, and said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Isn't that an interesting verse? And I always ask that question, when did the Lord ascend to heaven? Because many of us, when we read the Word of God, we're taught that the day of resurrection, this day that I just read, the Lord walked on earth for 30 or 40 days. You read that in Acts chapter 1. And after the 40 days, at Mount Olive, he ascended into the clouds. And then 10 days later was Pentecost. So we are led to believe that when he ascended was 40 days after his resurrection. But that's not what it says here. Our Lord Jesus Christ actually ascended, went to the Father the very day of his resurrection. Because we see in verse 17, Jesus said to her, said to Mary, "Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." So that very day in resurrection, the Lord ascends to his Father. He is glorified that very day. Amazing. And this is when the tombs were opened. We read in the Gospels, when our Lord resurrected, and prophets of old actually came out of their tombs and walked about the villages. Now, I don't know where they went after that, because the Word of God doesn't say specifically. This is because the power of resurrection. See, death could not hold resurrection life. Satan with all his powers, the demonic forces, together, combined, tried to hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, in the grave, and death could not hold resurrection life. Our Lord Jesus, not only was he crucified, buried, but he was resurrected. That's right. Resurrection life overcame the power of death. And this very life of resurrection indwells in you and I. So we see, not only did he ascend that very day, but he comes back that very evening, verse 19. So when it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now he has that authority. All authority was given to him. He now ascended to the Father, came back, and he's now in this glorified body. He's able to translate himself, go through walls in a glorified body. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now that word, he breathed on, is actually the Greek, he breathed in. It's a unique word that he breathed into them the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ. That is when they received regeneration and the indwelling of the Spirit, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, was when he breathed into them. That was when they became children of God. They took upon a whole new genealogy. Christ now lives in the disciples. They are saved, regenerated at this point in time. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And we could see that these two verses, that he's speaking of the promise in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28, and how the Spirit of God will come upon them. And this is going to happen 10 days later, because he's going to ascend at this time into the clouds to the Father for the second time. And then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come upon them. This is the promise of the Father given in the book of Joel. And this is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism that will come upon them, as we read in Pentecost. That is 10 days later. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so he tells the disciples, stay in Jerusalem. They're already saved. They already have the indwelling Spirit of God living in them. But now he said, stay, that the Spirit would come upon them for power, for the work of the ministry. It says there here, let's continue in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not in you now, it comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So in Matthew, as I read earlier in chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 1, the Lord himself, our Lord, already had the Spirit of God within him as a man on earth. He didn't need a regenerated spirit, because his spirit never was deadened because he never took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He never was corrupted. His body never underwent decay. The enemy had no claim upon him. See, God came, the fullness of deity, in bodily form in the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." See, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came and he walked on earth, fully God, fully man. He laid his privileges, his rights of divinity aside. He emptied himself. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. And he fully entrusted himself to the Father. He was a man without sin, walked on this earth. And when did his ministry begin? Well, we see in Matthew chapter 3 what happened, and also chapter 4, verse 1, that when he was baptized, the Spirit came upon him, and it rested and remained upon him like a dove. When John the Baptist baptized him, when he came out of the water, the Spirit of God, the promise of the Father, came upon him. So he had the Spirit of God in him, and now he has the Spirit upon him. That is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose was so he would go out in such power, because we see that his ministry, when did his ministry begin? In chapter 4, verse 1, in Matthew, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." His ministry began as soon as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit came upon him. He immediately was led into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil. His ministry has now begun. And that's why we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he mentioned to the disciples, Jesus said, "Stay here until the promise of the Father has come." And that was 10 days later when Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon them, that they would be endowed with power, with the promise of the Holy Spirit for the work of the Lord. Now that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying, to summarize that part, is that our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the Father the day of resurrection. When Mary was clinging on him, he said, "Mary, stop clinging on me because I ascend to the Father." That's the first time he ascended. And then he comes back down that evening and he shows himself. He has a glorified body, and then he breathes into the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. That is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Their spirits were regenerated. And I say regeneration because the fall of man, our spirit becomes deadened. But now the Spirit is regenerated within the disciples. Christ now indwells in them. Christ now indwells in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then we see again, 40 days later, Christ was on earth for 40 days. He's speaking to his disciples, and he tells them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Stay there for the promise of the Father, so that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them." That is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For the purpose to receive power and to do the work of the Lord for ministry. And there's many examples of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where the Spirit comes upon God's people. We see it especially also in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, let's turn to 1 Samuel 19, 23. "He proceeded there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. so that he went along prophesying continually until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And we see in verse 24, the latter part says, is Saul also among the prophets? So we see the Spirit of God came upon Saul. Let's go to Judges 14, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. See, Samson, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was confronted with this lion, and he tore this lion, this destroyed this lion. Also in verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And when he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of the clothes to those who told the riddle, and his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, in verse 43 to 48. And this is when Peter is sharing the gospel, the good news of the kingdom to the Gentiles. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. You see, it fell upon them while they're listening to the gospel. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? Verse 48, and he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So we see here that they were not even baptized in water yet, the Gentiles. But the Spirit came upon them. It poured out on them. That is the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the promise that we read out in Joel 2:28. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then we see right after that, they were water baptized. So there is a difference. And I'm not going to go into it, but I will be doing a series on the Holy Spirit later. So see, the Spirit came upon them in the New Testament as well. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So we see here that the Spirit came into the house and then it rested upon them. That is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the day of Pentecost. This is the time when the church is now being birthed. And now they are filled with the Spirit to be empowered to do ministry for the work of the Lord. Spiritual warfare principle number 5, show me the power.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learned the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his seven spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. Tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.